What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Mental Corner Podcast, the show where I bring on guests from all different backgrounds to talk all the things mental health. I'm your host, Harry Potvin, and today is another edition of the rough video intros. After working out, long day of work, haven't showered yet, the camera quality's not there because we haven't been in the studio, but I keep pushing. I do this for you guys, all right? So you better appreciate this stuff. So for today's episode, I am joined by Bill from TackleDepression.org. Tackle Depression is an organization that is providing knowledge, insight, and resources for anyone that is battling mental illness. Their goal here is to spread awareness to students, athletes, athletic programs, and school districts to let anyone know who is struggling that you are not alone in this fight. Bill was such a blast to have on, and I really want to thank him again for coming on and having this discussion with me. And of course, again, there was no episode on Sunday. Life got in the way for me. I was with friends and family, spending some time with them. I just didn't have the time to get in the studio and prepare an episode for you guys, wrap up an intro video and all of that stuff. So I appreciate everyone understanding. And again, another message for you. Sometimes it's okay to take a break. I know I feel like there's been a couple days in the last couple months where I said, oh, no new episode this week or this day or whatever. And I'm just really appreciative of everyone understanding because, look, it gets hard. And you might be in that predicament right now. You might be feeling swamped, feeling like you can't manage all of this stuff going on at once. Take that break, bro. You deserve it. Now, of course, if you're listening, you know the drill. Please, like, comment, share, subscribe. Give 5 stars if you're on that podcast platform. Share with someone who might want to hear this episode. It's a really great one, and I can't wait for you to listen. I'll talk to you all very soon. Have a great rest of your day. Peace. Okay, and we're live. Bill, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you guys having me on here.
Of course. So my first question for you is, like, what inspired you to found Tackle Depression?
Back in 2018, I kind of went through a little bit of a rough patch. I was going through some daily anxiety and some regular everyday anxiety type issues. But I sort of, this, I guess it would be the during the end of football season 2018, I kind of had a little bit of a mental breakdown where I was kind of going through some depression, some anxiety. I started having panic attacks, which I never really experienced before. So I sat my girlfriend down and my family down, and we started, I told them that I was going through these type of things. I mean, I'm a health teacher and phys ed teacher, so I kind of know when something's not going right. So nobody really had any idea that I was going through these things. So I sat down, talked to them about getting me some help. We started talking to therapists and that sort of thing. And my wife, after it settled down and I started feeling a little bit better, she talked about how many people are probably going through these things. Athletes and stuff like myself, former college athlete that, is going through these, and how many other people that are probably in the same shoes as me and are not, willing to talk about it. She kind of came out with the idea with kind of base it around football, since I was a football player, high school coach, college coach. So we sat down, we kind of threw the idea around, not thinking that I would actually follow through with it at the time, but we sat down and I reached out to some local nonprofits that I have dealt with in the past, some local Monmouth County nonprofits, the RAIN Foundation and Patty Dickens. The RAIN Foundation's a nonprofit in the local New Jersey area that deals with giving back to the Bay Shore for anybody that's struggling. So we talked to them. I sat down with them, kind of brainstormed some ideas. Just as a startup, And then we got together with a lawyer and all the paperwork and stuff that we needed to get going. And I kind of just started it up, and then got the ball rolling with Tackle Depression and our goals of giving back to the community and helping anybody that's dealing with mental health issues. And yeah, it's kind of been crazy ever since. So.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. Have you noticed a big growth? Because 2018 was still kind of, we were talking about mental health every now and then, but it was still kind of this taboo sort of topic. Have you noticed a growth in Tackle Depression based on the movement of mental health throughout the years?
Yeah, 100%. But I mean, especially once COVID happened, mental health started becoming, it was at the forefront of a lot of people's conversations. So any mental health field or mental health issues that people were going with were kind of brought to the forefront of today's conversations. Then you had some celebrities and professional athletes that started talking about mental health issues that they were going through. I mean, a mental health hits anybody. It doesn't matter what your job, your profession, religious background, it doesn't matter. Mental health kind of, it takes you by surprise. And I was a guy that never really understood it, didn't really believe in it myself until I started going through it. And then, so it's definitely been an uphill battle, but rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you were a player, did you ever experience anything that kind of gave you hints looking back that you may be experiencing these things?
Looking back on it now, yes. Looking back on it now, when I started looking back on it with my therapist and the people that I've been talking to about seeing where possibly these sort of issues have come from, there was definitely some telltale signs of me possibly having some mental health issues. It's hereditary is always one of those things. It's hereditary. Some people believe in that, but I was going through with, I mean, I had some angry spurts when I was a kid. I always suffered from severe migraines, which some doctors and people believe that migraines and mental health issues go hand in hand. I started having a little bit of anxiety probably my junior to senior year of college, when I was playing football in college at Kane University. And I started having a little bit of issues. Nothing that I needed to be on medication for 24/7, but with my family doctor, they gave me like a Xanax sort of if I was going through any issues at the time. But I never had to be put on anything that was really a daily sort of medication until 2018. And 2012 was probably the first time that I actually had a panic attack. But I didn't realize, I had no idea what it was. To be honest with you, I thought that I was just having some heart issues. We ended up getting my heart checked out. We ended up going in. I had a lot of tests done. I had some stuff like that where they actually ended up finding a little bit of a heart issue that I did have. But once we got that taken care of, the issues were still gone. I was still going through it. So that's when I realized that I kind of figured that I had something else going on.
Right. And when you were in college, was mental health ever talked about?
It was, but it was a rarity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rarity. I mean, because, well, specifically for guys like me and stuff like that, if you're not going through it, really, you kind of really don't pay much attention to it. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where unless you know somebody that's going through it or you're dealing with personal issues with it, if it's brought up, you kind of just, yeah, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. I never really thought much of it because I never really had an experience with it. So.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you, in 2018, when you, when you figured out what it was and you were talking to friends and family and opening up about what you were experiencing, what was kind of like the reception from people around you?
Shock was probably the biggest. My wife knew that I was going through some stuff. My girlfriend at the time knew. I mean, she was my girlfriend at the time, but if it wasn't for her, she's a blessing. So, I mean, I was a prototypical, I guess, athlete jock. To where if there was anything emotional or anything going on specifically, I would kind of hold everything in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I've always been. And I think 2018 was the breaking point, I think, of me holding everything in. And it's been great with everybody. I coached a bunch of different places before I started having these issues. I coached football at my alma mater, Raritan. I coached at, I had a small stint at Freehold Borough High School in New Jersey. Then I was lucky enough to coach at my college alma mater for a few years under Coach Dan Garrett. And then I coached at Paramus Catholic with Dan Sabella. A lot of my colleagues and my friends and people like that were really shocked that I was going through these things because, I mean, I held it. I didn't really deal with, I always put a smile on until I was in a room by myself, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that, that's kind of when the thoughts and the ruminating issues and, all that stuff kind of, came to fruition. But there's been a lot of, positive feedback. A lot of people are starting to come out and talk about these things and reaching out to our nonprofit and leaving us messages and DMs and emails and saying what a blessing it is for us to just start the conversation talking about mental health. There's always some backlash of some people that are still on the fence of whether or not to believe that people are going through these things. But if they had a chance to walk in my shoes, obviously they would see it a little bit differently. But other than that, it's been great. And the opportunity to start the conversation and people to look at our page and read some of the stuff that we put out or come to an event and decide to reach out for help if they're needing some help. It's been nothing but positive on our end.
Yeah. And I mean, for people who just don't understand, like it's so tough to explain it, like put it into words what you're going through, because it's something that they can't see. It's something that they can't experience themselves if they're not going through it.
100%.
Yeah, it's a tough one to put it, to get them to put your shoes on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a really difficult thing to understand if nobody's gone through it.
Yeah,
even if somebody has a family member or friends that go through it, it's a rarity that family, friend, or person is really telling them exactly what the thoughts that they're having is and what they're going through. It's kind of, they kind of sugarcoat it a little bit and give you kind of a little bit of the details, but not really enough for you to be like, wow, this person's really going through it, you know?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And I mean, when I opened up about my own personal experiences, like the first reaction was like, but you're such a happy guy.
Yeah.
Well, to you.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, I mean, when you're in a room by yourself and that sort of thing, that's when all the challenges, and a lot of times when it comes to depression, anxiety and stuff like that, you always want to try to make everybody else happy because you can't make yourself happy. You know what I mean? So, that's one of the things that you struggle with. But I mean, once you get yourself some help and you start climbing that ladder of getting better, keep on battling and surround yourself with really good people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I was reading up about you and like part of your story that you share on your website, and you mentioned like burdens that come with mental health.
Yeah.
And living with anxiety and depression. So in your experience, like what were some of the burdens that came with that?
I mean, to me, I always felt that I was, once I started having these issues, I kind of felt like I was a burden to everybody. Whether to my wife, thinking, I hope my boyfriend or my husband's okay. I hope he's, if I'm leaving him alone, I hope that he's not thinking about doing something stupid, or I hope his, he's making the right decisions and he's not thinking about certain things that people don't want to talk about, and suicide and things like that. But I mean, those are realistic burdens that people have when it comes to mental health, and people that are going through it is, there's tons of people on a daily basis that have suicidal thoughts and ruminating suicidal thoughts and stuff like that, that they don't talk about. But that was one of my main things, is the burden of my family and my parents and the people around me constantly wondering if I was okay or stuff like that. You know, that's really what the main burden becomes, is kind of you versus you, and thinking in your own head that you're a burden to everybody else.
Right. Yeah. It's so tough too, because when you're in that headspace, it's almost like you feel like distancing yourself and like isolating yourself from everyone would benefit everybody, when in reality that just hurts the situation more.
Yeah, 100%, because then they're worrying about you, wondering where you're at, wondering where your head's at. And yeah, it's a difficult situation. Everybody deals with it differently. I started surrounding myself with family and friends, and I think that helped me out a lot. When I was depressed and when I was going through it, I was sheltering myself and kind of sticking to myself and doing my own thing for a long time. And I think that kind of, that wasn't the way to go about doing it. And when I opened up about it, when I started talking about it to other people, hearing the support and the other people that are going through it and wanted to open up to me about what they were going through, that definitely helped a lot, because then you realize that you're not the only person that is going through these sort of things, which is 100% helpful. Because at the time, I really didn't know many people that were going through these things. And now I know certain family members, friends, former teammates, coaches that I coached with that have been going through these things for a long time. And it always helps, because then if there's something that you're going through, you always have other people that you can talk to and chat about it. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, the power of community is so important. When you were doing that, when you were starting to get better and starting to do the communication, the reaching out to people, surrounding yourself, when did you start to realize that change happening?
I would say probably 3 to 6 months after I started, seeing my doctor and my therapist on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor more or less on a monthly basis, but my therapist I was going to once or twice a week. And we were going through all sorts of strategies and coping mechanisms and stress relief techniques and all that stuff. Probably I would say 3 to 6 months was when I started seeing a change. That's when I started seeing a little bit, started getting out of that cloudy phase for a while.
Right. Is it ever hard to look back?
Yeah. It's very difficult. Right now I try to not look back. When I look back on it, I get pretty emotional, because I tell people all the time, but they don't get it. I was a foot from hell.
Mm-hmm.
I was face to face with it. It could have went a very different way if I didn't start surrounding myself and getting myself some help and surrounding myself with better people. But once again, you have to know your body and know that something's not right. And I was depressed going on 2, 3, 4 weeks, and I realized that something definitely wasn't right. And then the panic attacks and and that sort of thing, which I never started dealing with. But looking back on it, it's tough when you sit there and you think about the issues that you've dealt with and the panic attacks and that sort of thing. That's where your worries come from, is you don't want to go back to where you were, you know what I mean? And you know that there's a possibility you can get back there. And that's one of the hardest things to deal with, is knowing that there's a possibility that it can get bad again, but you keep on moving forward and doing your due diligence with your doctors and therapists and whatever you do to cope with what you're going through. And then you keep on moving forward.
Right. Yeah, totally, man. I completely get that. What are some ways that you personally kind of cope and maintain good mental health for yourself?
I was always an athlete. So my therapist and the people that I've talked to kind of, when I started not playing sports and not doing athletics, is when I kind of started seeing a downslope with mental health. I was always athletic. I mean, I played 2-3 sports in high school, played football in college. I was still regimented when I was coaching and teaching and stuff like that, but it's not as easy when you're done with sports and you're trying to, I was trying to figure myself out. And I'm still trying to do that, trying to figure myself out. And sometimes I look at myself at the outside in and try to think about what people are thinking of me, and am I holding up the expectations that I have with myself. And it all started, I mean, that was really one of the main things, was I hold myself to a high standard. And that's one of the main things that I kind of have. I have a really hard time of being where my feet are and being in, being where I am or in being actual present with myself. So anything that, any coping strategy that can kind of put me in the here and now, massages, that sort of thing. I get massages on a monthly basis, acupuncture. I like to go out and walk, car rides, music. For me, the yoga and stuff like that really didn't do it for me, unless there was some sort of athletic part to it, whether it be a hot yoga or something like that. The meditation never really did it for me. Throwing stuff, lifting stuff, any sort of athletic activity kind of puts me in the here and now. And coaching actually helps me out when making play calls or stuff like that, where I'm present with the kids. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that helps me out a lot, is when I'm with the kids and I'm teaching them and I'm coaching them and I'm able to kind of influence the younger generation a little bit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually a perfect segue, because I wanted to talk about the whole youth aspect. In your experience, like, how do you, when you're talking about mental health, we obviously want to educate the youth more and we want to give them the tools to learn how to properly manage their mental health and improve mental wellness and all of that. So how do you talk to kids about these kind of heavy topics without getting too into it?
It's very difficult being an educator, because I have to walk a fine line with the curriculum and what we have to teach in district. So I have to really go by what the book says when it comes to me teaching in the school. So we have to make sure that we're going by the curriculum and teaching whatever the book says, and making sure that these kids know, and the athletes know, and the players and the students, even the teachers know where in the building they can get the resources and the help that they need, because there's certain resources and certain people in each school district and each educational building that it's important for teachers, students, athletes, whoever is in the building to know who they can go to for help. And that's what you have to talk to with your principal and your assistant principal or whoever, and making sure that you guys know exactly who to talk to and these kids know exactly who to go to if there's an issue that they're dealing with that they can go to in their school. That's what a lot of coaches and athletic directors reach out to me about, that sort of thing. When it comes to resources, you can always give out resources, that sort of thing. But you want to make sure that the right people are giving the resources out, your child study team, whoever is dealing with those sort of things in school, make sure they have the pamphlets and the resources to give out to any of the students that if they're going through it, to kind of look through and get them the help that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the biggest things, right? Is this lack of, lack of understanding of where these resources are. There hasn't been any education into like, hey, you can go to this place if you need help.
Yeah. It's a really, really thin line that you have to walk now, being a coach and being an educator and being in a school system. Because it's not how it used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago, where you can sit a kid down and ask them what's going on. You look like you're going through it. Is there anything we can do to help you? And that sort of thing. You kind of have to make sure that that the students or the athletes or whoever you're dealing with knows that you're there for them. But you really have to point them in the direction of the people that are certified in dealing with those sort of things, and especially in education. If they were to reach out to our nonprofit or something like that, our nonprofit would direct them into whoever they can talk to or the resources that they can use locally to get themselves some help. But when it comes to the educational system, your school should have those resources that you can use locally and in the building for you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I was an athlete, I was in swimming, but I was never in football. And just from the outside looking in, it's like, you know, one of those tough, manly sports where you're hitting people and there's like, you know, a lot of contact and a lot of toughness. What has the mental health discussion kind of been like in the sport of football?
It's interesting. I mean, it's becoming more common for sports and football to talk about these sort of things. There's been a lot of deaths and suicides in relation to football players over the past couple of years that have opened up the talk and that sort of thing with when it comes to football. But it's a fine line, once again, that you're talking about, because at the end of the day, you want to preach mental toughness. With that sort of thing, and you might have a coach that looks at you hope that they don't, but you might have a coach that looks at a player a little bit differently if they're going through these sort of things. But you really hope that the coach that your son or daughter is playing for is understanding of the impact that football has on you and demand of attention to detail all the time. And you hope that these kids are whether or not they're going through something, that you can give them the opportunity, no matter what, to kind of to battle through what they're going through, but give them the resources to get the help. But it's been opened up a little bit. You have guys like Hayden Hurst that talk about mental health. He has his foundation. You have other football players that have been reaching out about it. And you have the NFL and college athletics that are having mental health days, that are having mental health weeks, that are raising money for local charities and nonprofits that are dealing with mental health issues. So it's definitely getting there. And more people that are stepping up and talking about what they're going through is definitely helping the cause and helping a lot of kids out and helping a lot of the younger generation out with just opening up and talking about it.
Right, yeah, because when I was growing up as an athlete, this is so great because you just mentioned it was, you always preach mental toughness and you always preach being able to turn that switch on no matter when, or always be on regardless of the situation. But then when you're that person that, is having a little trouble, whether it's at home or in your head or in school or whatever, and you're having a hard time focusing on your sport, you kind of ask yourself the question, like, well, if everyone else can do it, what the heck is wrong with me?
Yeah, you're thinking to yourself, are you mentally weak? Are you not right for this sort of thing? Or am I doing the wrong? Should I not even play this? Should I just give up? Should I mean, all those things are going through your head. And I mean, right now you have schools and colleges that are actually making mental health a major priority. I know Ohio State is putting together a mental health program, which is great for them. They're putting together some mental health professionals and things like that because they understand that these kids are going through a lot of other things that we never had to go through in our generation with the social media and the backlash and them being on the forefront of college sports all the time and living up to these expectations. And what these people don't understand is these at the end of the day, they're college athletes and their kids, even their professionals, but everybody has a breaking point at some point, and once you reach it, it's not good. So having that plan in place is definitely where a lot of colleges and a lot of athletic programs should really be striving for, is to have something in place if one of your student athletes has a mental health crisis. This is what we're going to do. This is who we take them to. And this is how we work on it moving forward.
Yeah, I mean that whole social media aspect is so interesting because it's almost like people who make those hateful comments or, send hateful messages and everything, it's almost like they send them thinking that the athlete's never gonna see it.
Yeah.
And but they tag them.
Yeah, they're 18, 19, 20, some even in high school. Like, I mean, I can imagine. Like when you think about, I mean, the professionals or the celebrities or whoever it is, the amount of social media tags and the inappropriate stuff that these people are dealing with on a daily basis. Who knows if they're actually, some of them are looking at their own social media accounts, but some of the stuff that they say,
Man.
the amount of stuff that some of these people tell these young kids and these. I mean, after a while, like, I mean, you have to drown out the noise people say, but at the end of the day, I mean, you're only human. You're looking at all those things and you're thinking to yourself, maybe I am a loser. You know what I mean? Maybe I am a loser. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I should give it up. I mean, I threw two interceptions, I threw three interceptions, I missed a tackle. Maybe this guy is better than me. You know what I mean? But that's, once again, that's where that mental toughness comes in. You know what I mean? So you walk a fine line with mental toughness and mental health, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like people make those comments thinking that you're going to be 100% every day. Like there's this unrealistic expectation for athletes. Like they're human. They're not robots, man. They're not going to be perfect all the time. I have two more questions for you, Bill. And the first one is for, actually both of them are geared towards any youth athletes or any youth that are listening, or just anyone in general, I guess. But the first one is for like day-to-day life. How can people listening kind of improve their mental health? Like, yes, go to a professional and do all of that, but in terms of like their day-to-day life, like what are some little improvements that they could do to maybe improve everything?
You have to worry. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to take a little bit of time for yourself. So, whether that's in the morning, waking up and doing something positive in the morning, that's one of my things that I've tried to do over the past couple months is wake up and do something positive in the morning, whether it's go for a walk, go by the beach, listen to some positive music, whether you could listen to some positive quotes or some positive affirmations or that sort of thing. But you have to make sure that you're taking time for yourself and you're not so caught up in everything else that once you are not doing all those things, all the stressors and all those things are going to kind of surface, and they're going to kind of put you in a little bit of a bad spot. So you got to make sure you're taking time for yourself, and it's okay to take it, to take a few minutes or to take a little bit to yourself. Just make sure that you're being honest with the people around you. And even in school, you know what I mean? There's times where some of the kids that I'm teaching, just, they're not in it. You know what I mean? I tell them to make sure that they're being honest with me and just telling me, hey, coach, I'm kind of just not in a good mood today. Do you mind if I can finish this assignment tomorrow or the next day or whatever it is? Because at the end of the day, everybody has those bad days and that sort of thing. So make sure you're taking time for yourself. We just got done doing our tackle depression youth football clinic over here in Monmouth County. We do it with the Rain Foundation, and Anthony Petruzzi. He's the head coach at Raritan High School here in Hazard, New Jersey. He was the head of the whole thing and his coaching staff, and they did a great job of bringing all these young kids. So it was a combination of really young kids and kids that are going into high school. So we kind of collaborated on a way to raise some funds, but also get these kids better at football. And we did about a month of sessions. And I talked to the kids and for a little bit on just explaining to them, and the younger kids will probably not get it unless they have somebody that's in their family that is depressed or that sort of thing. But these older kids that are 13, 14, 15, could possibly be going through it. And I kind of told them that make sure that if you see something or you say something, if you see something or you know somebody that's going through it, make sure you reach out to them. If you see a difference in somebody, and talk to them and ask them how they're doing and ask them if they're happy and if they need help or that sort of thing. Just make sure you're always there for the people around you. And if you notice something, make sure that you're speaking out and saying something to the person. So.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love what you were talking about, taking time for yourself, because it brings me back to when, you know, I was in school doing sports or doing school anyway. And there was just that mentality where it was like, no matter what you're doing, just push through it. It doesn't matter. Like, put your mental health aside, put your feelings aside, and just focus on the task at hand. There was never like, okay, maybe you should take a step back and do your thing. It was always just push right through and put whatever feelings you have down. So the fact that we're getting to a point where you can talk about, hey, take that day, like that's huge for people.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you always feel like, especially as an athlete, if you're taking that day, you're taking that time. There's a guy right behind you that's going to take your spot with that sort of thing. And that's one of the things that I had a really hard time dealing with, because I always had a high expectation of myself, and I still do. And I think that's one of my it's a good quality, but it's also a tough quality, because I'm doing a lot better with it now of thinking about how other people are perceiving me. And that's one of the tough things that I was dealing with when I opened up, when I started this foundation, is what are people really going to think of me, and what are, you know what I mean? You have that perception of that sort of thing, and it's a stigma. But once again, you have to be good with yourself and the expectations that you set on yourself and that sort of thing. You have to make sure you give yourself a little bit of credit and make sure you're giving yourself a little bit of positiveness and some positive affirmations daily and telling yourself that you're doing the best you can and let the chips fall where they may, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, of course. And I guess, well, Bill, my last question for you, it again gears to more so youth athletes or youth in general, but it could really apply to anybody. Like, what is a message that you would want to give young people everywhere who may be struggling with their mental health currently?
It's tough. It's tough, man. Cause I mean, I, like I said, I've been at the highest of highs and I've been at the lowest of lows. But like I said, it's mental health. It doesn't have a, It doesn't care about your skin color. It doesn't care about your race. It doesn't care about ethnicity. It doesn't care about whether you're rich, whether you're poor. It doesn't care about male, female. It doesn't care about any of those things. And it'll drag you down. And it's one of those things where, like I said, I've been, without getting into too much detail, I've been, like I said, a foot from hell. And I can promise you that if you put the work in and you surround yourself with the right people, it will get better. It's a daily struggle that you're going to have to go through. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be really good days. There's going to be really awful days. And you have to make sure that you have a plan in place to get the help that you need and surround yourself with good people and surround yourself with people that you can trust and surround yourself with people that are going to bring you higher and surround yourself with people that just get it, you know, surround yourself with people that get it and the people that are caring and would do anything for you and make sure that you're being a friend to everybody else and always give some positive affirmations to people and ask people not only how you're doing, but ask them if they're happy. You know what I mean? Ask them if they're happy and if they're ever in need of anything to talk to you. Because I mean, I try to go out of my way and reach out to as many as my friends and previous coworkers and previous football players and teammates and stuff like that. And I sometimes send a text message that just says, hey, if you're going through it, you need anything, let me know. And that's it. Just make sure you're being a good friend to yourself. Make sure you're being a good friend to other people and make sure you're treating everybody the way that you want to be treated. I mean, it's cliche, but at the end of the day, you never know what anybody's going through. And just make sure you're being kind and being awesome to everybody else and spread positive vibes and positive vibes will come your way.
Right on, man. Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. Now, Bill, where can people who are listening find Tackle Depression, find all your work and support it?
We have our website's www.tackledepression.org. You can find us on all social media at Tackle Depression. We have a few events coming up. Right now we're doing a 50-50. Anybody 18 years or older wants to purchase a ticket, you can find it on social media. Reach out to us on Venmo. We also are doing a Tackle Depression with the Jersey Shore Blue Claws game, which is in Lakewood. We're doing that August 6th at 7:05. You can get tickets on our social media and our website. Should be a good time, just a good time for everybody to go out and family atmosphere, watch a baseball game. We'll have a tailgate set up with some giveaways, barbecue, and stuff like that. Should be an awesome time.
I love it, man. I'll put those links down below. Bill, thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. It's been a blast.
Keep on keeping on, man. If you need anything, reach out and keep doing what you're doing. I love the podcast and keep spreading the positive vibes. And if you guys need anything, reach out. But keep being a blessing to others, man.
Of course, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. And to all my listeners, I will see you guys next time.